One. Stay tuned for the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. Thank you, Kid Rock. We are rocking it on a Friday episode of the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. It's where we, the people, gather together to foment the resistance, to organize against Chairman Joe and Commie Harris, and stop this transformation from the most exceptional nation on earth into this Marxist hellhole that we're hurtling with comet-like speed to. Well, I got about 8 days or so to go to the midterm elections. We are joined in the battle each and every episode with our executive producer, Hosni. I should say Joe Hosni Armacost. You almost gave him a new nickname.
But
we thought better of it today. Hello, Joe.
Well, I'm glad to be here one more day with you guys. Yeah.
Yes, we're always grateful for one more day. Our associate producer and researcher, Mode Drosella. No, just kidding. Michelle. Hello, Michelle.
Hi there.
Hey, Michelle.
It's a crazy Friday already.
It is a crazy Friday already. It's a weekend is here. And Don't forget, we have the new episode today. The new Casey commentary will come out tomorrow. That is going to be on the connection between cannabis and, of course, psychosis and perhaps school shootings. It's called Weed Killer, and that's coming up tomorrow here on the show. Today, it's Biden's misfires. That's right. We're going to be talking a lot about Chairman Joe and his big speech. Did you watch the speech last night? What'd you think?
Oh,
I didn't watch it.
I knew you didn't watch it. You're watching something else right now.
Yeah. I didn't watch it either. I saw bits and pieces of it.
Okay.
But, I heard it was a real winner.
Well, they try to make it, pass it off as being, oh, this is just common sense, gun control. And, you know, most of Americans agree, even the other party, you know, agrees with some of this stuff. And they try to couch it in such terms like, who could argue with this? But, you know, we're going to debunk and we're going to dissect it. And we're going to blow it out of the water all in one fell swoop today. So if you want to, you know, complete just unraveling of Chairman Joe, you want to stay here for the next hour or so, because it's all about that. And, of course, inflation. We're going to be talking about that. Dr. Fauci is back in the news again. There he is. And we don't forget, we have our liberal lunatic of the week. We have our Patriot of the Week. We'll give that out today, as well as we have election news, major election news. By the way, program note, Catherine Engelbrecht of True the Vote joins us on the show next Wednesday. So she will be here next Wednesday. And boy, she's making news. Her first arrest has been made as a result of 2,000 mules. So we'll talk about that and much, much more. Stick with us here. So lots coming up in the next week here on the Sean Casey Show. We're glad that you're able to join us. Download it and subscribe, rate, and review to your favorite digital platform. We start today with a quote from a founding father, Thomas Jefferson, in a letter to William Stephen Smith, who is the son-in-law of John Adams, December of 1787. This is about the real reason why. We'll get to this a little bit later on in the show here, when Joe Biden was talking about why anybody would need a AR-15 or whatever. And here's what Jefferson wrote, quote, "What country can preserve its liberties if their rulers are not warned from time to time that their people preserve the spirit of resistance? Let them take arms." End of quote. Does that sound like the militia to you? Does that sound like that is a the arm for? No, the people. The people preserve the spirit of resistance.
That's right.
Let them take arms. So that's the number one reason why James Madison inserted the Second Amendment into the first 10, the Bill of Rights, is against a tyrannical government. And people, I hear these liberals, oh, come on, Sean, you really think the government's going to turn? Well, just go ahead and ask the people of China, of Russia, of Venezuela, of Cuba, and all these other, North Korea, North Vietnam at one time. Just go and ask them if they ever thought their government and their countrymen would turn on them. That would be interesting. And that's why you have all these people coming here from Cuba, from Vietnam. And guess what? They're finding a home in the Republican Party, and they're running for office, and they are winning because of this anti- They've seen it before. They've experienced. Here in America, it's like the slow, you know, it's like the old adage, you know, you throw a frog in a pot of boiling water, it's going to jump right out. But if you throw them in a cold water and you turn the heat up real slow.
They seem to know the slow crawl of communism. I mean, they can see it.
Yeah.
And they know what's happening here.
And they've been playing this stuff for a long time. So, again, that's. And they're patient. Now, maybe not quite as patient as the Taliban, because they've taken thousands of years. Radical Islamic fundamentalism, and they're still being very patient. And look what happened: 20 years of war. Who's still standing? The Taliban in Afghanistan. 20 years we were at war there. Should have wiped them out. First and foremost, we didn't. They're still standing. We come home in a horrific, unconditional withdrawal, leaving thousands of fellow Americans behind enemy lines. So. I mean, they kind of get the message. They know who we are. Sad, but true. All right, so last night, when you need a distraction, when everything is going bad, when the borders have been thrown wide open, when inflation is running amok, gas prices, grocery prices, you can't keep baby formula on the shelves. Just about everything you touch blows up in your face. You need a distraction. And remember what I've said, from now until November 8th, the three things going to be J6, and by the way, next Thursday night, prime time hearings from Liz Cheney and the Pelosi Grand Inquisition. They're going to do it in prime time. And by the way, today, as we were getting ready to record, they just indicted Dr. Peter Navarro, who has been a guest on this show. We're going to get him back here in the coming weeks, as he's got a brand new book out. And so we'll talk to him about that. But he's been indicted along with Steve Bannon. These are true American patriots, folks, that are standing up to the machine, to the establishment, to the swamp. So the distraction is they have these horrific mass shootings that actually capture the attention of everybody, and rightfully so. The media runs 24/7 with it, wall to wall. And you look at these pictures of these children and of these devastated families, and your heart just absolutely breaks for these people.
It does.
And so, and they know that, and they exploit that, and they do that on purpose. Why? Because they need a distraction. I'm not saying they caused the shooting. I'm saying they're exploiting. They politicize. And then now they're going to weaponize it against lawful, law-abiding gun owners of America. So here was the gun plan announced last night by Chairman Joe.
Here's what the overwhelming majority of American people believe we must do. Here's what the families in Buffalo and Uvalde in Texas told us we must do. We need to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. And if we can't ban assault weapons, then we should raise the age to purchase them from 18 to 21. Strengthen background checks. Enact safe storage law and red flag laws. Repeal the immunity that protects gun manufacturers from liability. Address the mental health crisis, deepening the trauma of gun violence and as a consequence of that violence. These are rational, common sense measures. Here's what it all means. It all means this. We should reinstate the assault weapons ban on high capacity magazines that we passed in 1994 with bipartisan support in Congress and the support of law enforcement.
So there was his laundry list, and it was so urgent, so pressing, that when he finished his speech, he departed for Rehoboth Beach, where he has a beach house and I'm sure a freezer stocked full of chocolate chip ice cream.
You know, I don't want to go too far afield, but you know, an overwhelming majority of Americans are telling these guys what they must do about the petroleum situation and about the economic situation.
You're right. And they're not listening.
That's
well,
right.
Let's put it this way. The only time they listen is when their political poll numbers drop. That's why Joe Biden, who called the Saudis a pariah in the world, is now trying to cut a deal with them to pump more oil because he knows.
How about that one?
Yeah, he knows he's in trouble. Look, this guy, he didn't give a damn about these. These real damn about these children. These are political pawns to be used in this the shooting. So now let's deconstruct some of the and debunk the myths last night. So here he is talking about, look, you got to lock these guns up even in your own home.
If you own a weapon, you have a responsibility to secure it. Every responsible gun owner agrees to make sure no one else can have access to it, to lock it up, to have trigger locks. And if you don't, and something bad happens, you should be held responsible.
Yeah, okay, it's your fault. So it's in the middle of the night, your house is broken into, and he expects us to make sure we've got, like, triple locks. How long is it going to take you to get to the gun safe and or the trigger locks or whatever? There are, and this is where he doesn't know. He's not a gun owner, even though he was advocating one time buy a shotgun. There are devices that you can buy that hide guns under a coffee table, and with a flip of the switch, they're available to you. Children can't get access to them, or you can put them in, over the mantle behind the fire. There's any number of different places I've seen very clever ways that you can hide your firearm, and it's there at a moment's notice. You don't want to be fumbling for your firearm in the middle of the night when bad guys break into your home. You don't have to be stumbling with trigger locks and trying to remember in a moment of, you know, the adrenaline's flowing. You need to have that firearm available and ready for use at a moment's notice.
I was watching this morning on the news, on Fox News, that there's this lady that was protecting her child. She had to use a gun. And she says if she had to do what Biden's proposing to do, it'd take her 90 seconds. And yeah, she goes, that would be just way too long.
You don't have that much time. You don't have that much time normally, especially if you're sleeping. Imagine as you're sleeping, you hear a noise or someone's in the house. You don't have a minute and a half.
Nope.
You may not even have half a minute. That's why this idea of trigger locks and, you can have a gun safe, but make sure that the gun safe is readily available to you or that wherever you're concealing your firearm in your home, it is going to be available to you when you need it.
I mean, are they going to pay for us to have safe rooms then?
No, of course not.
No.
I mean, you could construct a panic room, as it's known, and get in your home and sit there and. But the problem is you're going to put one in every, let's say your family of five or six or seven, you can put a panic room in everybody's room. You're not going to have time to go gather up your family and get them all into the master bedroom panic room. And what happens if the perpetrator is between you and the panic room?
Mm-hmm. Letting these people out back on the streets out there. They have such a long list of convictions.
Right. All right, the next, myth, if you will, are the so-called red flag laws.
We should also have national red flag laws so that a parent, a teacher, a counselor can flag for a court that a child, a student, a patient is exhibiting violent tendencies, threatening classmates, or experiencing suicidal thoughts that makes them a danger to themselves or to others. 19 states in the District of Columbia have red flag laws. The Delaware law is named after my son, Attorney General Bo Biden.
There it is. Always got to find a way to, get Bo in the conversation. I'm opposed to red flag laws for a number of reasons. One, I think they're unconstitutional. I think when you're accused, you should be able to get face your accuser, and you should have a hearing before a judge, before a jury, before they take your firearm from you, your constitutional right. How many times have people used the red flag laws to punish a spouse or a significant other, somebody that they've obviously are having arguments over? They make it up, and you don't get a chance to defend yourself. They go to the police. The police then go to the judge, and the judge says, "Okay, we're taking your firearm." And then after the fact, we might hear from you. That's unconstitutional.
After all we've seen with this government, why wouldn't they use the red flag laws to punish you or us as well?
Correct. Correct. So if they, you know, let's say they run a background check and now you remember the Proud Boys or Oath Keepers,
there you go,
or you have been, I don't know, on the Sean Casey Show as a conservative podcaster. We think you're a threat. You could be a white supremacist. We're taking your gun. I'm totally opposed. That's number one. Number two is that these are the people that can't tell us what a woman is. They can't tell us what gender a male or a female is, and we're going to trust them to be the ones that are going to flag people for potential violence. Now, granted, some teachers would be good at it and others, but I just think that, and you know what they've done in California? They're proposing a bill there that prohibits exactly what Joe Biden's talking about in schools, because they think what happens is if you tag a kid with a, you know, this kind of label at any age, it stays with them the rest of their lives, and then therefore they end up in prison, or they won't be able to work, and so that's where the that's where California is headed. They're completely opposite directions of Joe Biden and his red flag laws. Now I think we have to have parents and teachers and administrators and others on the same page. If you see something that looks threatening or bizarre or concerns you, say something, and preferably to law enforcement, and let them check it out. By the time you go with these liberal administrators in these schools, and every one of these cases that we look at has got some kind of red bell going, or whistles or warnings or flags or whatever you want to call them, there's usually a warning, and it's usually too late. So the red flag laws, that is a, if you pardon the expression, red herring. Now on to the mass shootings that we are experiencing every day, in, it seems, in America.
In Uvalde, just over a week ago, there have been 20 other mass shootings in America, each with four or more people killed or injured, including yesterday at a hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma. A shooter deliberately targeted a surgeon using an assault weapon he bought just a few hours before his rampage that left a surgeon, another doctor, receptionist, and a patient dead and many more injured. That doesn't count the carnage we see every single day. It doesn't make the headlines.
Yeah, it makes the headlines, but not whose policies. In Baltimore this year, where we broadcast behind the enemy lines in the blue state of Maryland, there have been six mass shootings. And that's defined as four or more dead, not including the shooter, in any single incident. Six. And they're double, at least double or triple that in Chicago. Do the math. All over the country, in cities run by Democrats who refuse to get tough on crime, who are letting people out with no cash bail, who are basically not serving outstanding warrants and getting violent thugs off the streets, who have these progressive George Soros city states attorneys and DAs that are not processing nuisance crimes. And you can see why there's an environment for mass shootings. Mass shootings doesn't just mean school shootings. It means everything out there. So he's out there claiming that the 1994 so-called quote-unquote assault weapons law brought down mass shootings. He said it last night back in 1994, and then he said when the law expired 10 years later that the mass shootings tripled. Well, I actually went back and I looked up the numbers, because the media doesn't do this. If they do, they massage it, they spin it, they propagandize it. In 1994, Bill Clinton signed into law the ban on so-called assault weapons and large capacity magazines, defined as those who could hold more than 10 rounds. The law, which was grandfathered in an estimated 1.5 million assault weapons and 25 million of these LCMs, which are the low capacity magazines, these were already owned by Americans. So that was put into place for 10 years until Congress let it lapse. So, and again, there were loopholes. There were exemptions. For instance, you could still sell copycat firearms, the ones that were knockoffs. So that clearly, I mean, that was really effective, right? You're going to ban You're going to ban semi-automatic AR-15s or the Bushmaster or the Daniel Defense Gun or whatever it was. You're going to ban those, but the copycats, we're not even going to bother with those. And there were lots of those, believe me. So there's a report out by the Justice Department around that time after the report was allowed to lapse that the so-called assault weapons were rarely used in gun crimes. In fact, James Fox, a Northeastern University professor, collected data going all the way back to 1982. And it showed that the semi-automatic firearms accounted for 25% of the public mass shootings. 25%. Semi-automatic handguns accounted for 48%. Okay, so nearly double. Far more prevalent in random mass shootings and massacres than the so-called scary, you know, assault military style weapon. So the question is, did the ban on semi-automatic rifles or long guns make a difference in mass shootings? Here are the numbers. According to Fox's data at the time, from 1976 to 1994, about 18 mass shootings occurred each year. And again, defined, four more dead in a single incident, not including the gunman. 18. During the ban, 1995 to 2004, there were 19 incidents per year. So during the ban, it actually went up one per year. After the ban, through 2011, the average went up to nearly 21. So it did go up during the ban, and when the ban was lifted, it went up a little bit more. So again, that can be explained by the prevalence of semi-automatic handguns. But the vast majority of gun owners are law-abiding and aren't committing these kinds of crimes. And they're, look, we've always had firearms in this since the beginning of this nation. In fact, what we do know is that the mass public shootings, 94% of them, 94% occur in gun-free zones. Since the year of 1950, that is research by John Lott's group. That is a, he did the book More Guns, Less Crime, if you might remember his name. But so, you know, we took some time to look up the numbers and verify what Chairman Joe is selling and we're not buying. So yes, it's anytime you see this, I don't care whether it's in the streets of Baltimore. We had an incident just last month where there were hundreds of rounds fired in a single city block. And they still haven't found the guy. So it's going to happen, unfortunately. You're going to get people. We just have to make sure that we don't let them anywhere near schools. And the best way to do that is stop making them gun-free zones. And because that clearly is not stopping the mass shooter from going with a gun into the schools. It encourages them. It invites them. Even though some of them have a death wish, they, and the reason why, this is gruesome, but I'll share it with you as a very good friend of mine, a experienced law enforcement officer, said, look, some of these people know they're going to get killed either by the cops or kill themselves at the end of their carnage. But the reason why they pick gun-free zones is no one can fire back and stop them before they're able to commit their carnage. And a lot of them want as many casualties. That's why they come in with hundreds of rounds. Because they want to take out as many people as they can to make some kind of sick, twisted, evil statement. And that's the reason why they choose gun-free zones. Churches, schools, public supermarkets, etc. They certainly aren't going into a gun store to do it now, are they? And there's been studies conducted that in those school districts that use the Guardian program, Florida, Texas, a few, not everybody participates, unfortunately, but they post signs that, you know, this is, our teachers are armed and we intend to protect our children. You know, it's basically proceed at your own risk because you're not going to make it very far. And that discourages them. They look, criminals want soft targets. They want people that aren't at home so they can go in and rob and pillage and pilfer. And or they want no resistance when they're going in to plan up to shoot up a school or any other public place. The next big canard, if you will, by Chairman Joe was this announced last night about the liability or immunity shields that gun manufacturers have.
We should repeal the liability shield. that often protects gun manufacturers from being sued for the death and destruction caused by their weapons. They're the only industry in this country that has that kind of immunity. Imagine if the tobacco industry had been immune from being sued, where we'd be today. The gun industry special protections are outrageous. It must end.
First off, have you ever heard of Big Pharma?
Right.
I mean, they've got all sorts of liability from some of these vaccines, which have proved, I'd love to do the numbers. Maybe we'll do that shortly in the next week or so. We compare the number of people who die by the gun versus the vaccine in this country in the last year. Because I think it may be comparable. I don't know. I'm mm-hmm. guesstimating now, but it's significant. So Big Pharma has a liability shield. You can't sue them. The problem is you can sue anybody for defect. If Smith & Wesson makes an effective handgun and the gun blows up in your face, you can sue them. But what you can't sue them for is the evil use of the gun. Just like the person who gets behind the wheel of a car who's drunk. That's not the car manufacturer's fault. It's the person driving the car. So you couldn't sue Ford because somebody drove one of their trucks drunk. But he wants to remove that. And then the goal here for the left is they now have the role. They have the business model how to take down, and he mentioned it, Big Tobacco. The difference is Big Tobacco knew that their cigarettes were dangerous to your health. And they marketed them, and they sold them anyway. Gun manufacturers know two things. One is that they believe that the guns, when properly handled, when properly used, are used for defensive purposes, to protect lives, to protect property, to protect people, and to competitive shooting, hunting, you name it. Are there people that use it for evil and twisted purposes? Yes, but it's not the gun manufacturer. That's not their intent. So this liability shield argument, again, is that's the way they hope to take down, the big gun industry is through the Big Tobacco model. The next way they try to do it is with limiting the number of rounds in a magazine or your clip.
We should limit how many rounds a weapon can hold. Why in God's name should an ordinary citizen be able to purchase an assault weapon that holds 30-round magazines that let mass shooters fire hundreds of bullets in a matter of minutes?
Well, why? Because you may face a tyrannical government one day that might have exactly. a proverbial army after you, and you might need some similar firepower as they have. Or you might face a mob, an unruly mob. Oh, I don't know, like in the summer of 2020, when Black Lives Matter and Antifa types were roaming, looting, burning, killing, robbing. That's at least two good reasons there that you might need more. They might need 30 rounds. But you know, this 10-round nonsense, it's done on purpose. You want to know why? Because the most popular handgun sold in America today is the Glock 19. It's a 9mm, and Biden slipped the other day when he mentioned 9mm, and that's where you put the two together. And so the Pelosi House bill is limits, once again, as the Clinton bill did, to low-capacity magazines. You can't have more than 10 rounds. The Glock 19 is shipped with 15-round clips. So already you're taking effectively banning the most popular handgun sold in America today. You're rendering it useless. Because the smaller clips won't fit the Glock 19. So that's the dirty little secret there. And they know it. And they're trying to, who needs 30 rounds? Who needs this? Who needs that? But that's the goal. Not only, they're just not after the semi-automatic rifles. They want your handguns too.
Yeah, they want it all.
They do. Because they can't impose this transformation to Marxism without it. And Obama references when he talked about people, bitter clingers. Remember that? Clinging bitterly to their guns and their God. And that's what Marxists and communists, that's what the Democrat Party is today. They're not Democrats. They're Marxists and they're communists.
Yep.
And that's how they should be identified and referred to. because they want to take your guns and they want to take, look what they're doing. They took God out of the schools back in the early 60s. That happened here in Baltimore by Madeline Murray O'Hare. But now they continue to assault God. And now more than ever, we need to get back to God, back to family, back to our faith, and be strong in that and encourage and nourish in the love and kindness and peace that faith brings. We are in a bad, bad spot right now. Not say we can't get out of it. There's always hope, you know, with the power of prayer. But you have to know that, you know, there's going to be this constant tug of war between good and evil. Evil never gives up. Satan never gives up. So that's where they come after, God and guns. Speaking of guns, Biden claiming last night that guns are the number one killer of children.
According to new data just released by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, guns are the number one killer of children in the United States of America. The number one killer. More than car accidents, more than cancer. Over the last two decades, more school-age children have died from guns than on-duty police officers and active-duty military combined.
Well,
no way.
Let me just tell you, the one statistic I did look up, and this is that his claim is only true if you count 18 and 19 year olds as children. Okay. The CDC figures show firearm related deaths of people ages 0 to 19. And that's done on purpose because an 18 or 19 year old is not a child. They're considered an adult. 0 to 17 would be the more accurate figure. But that's what they did to get to this number of 4,368 killed by a firearm or firearm-related death in 2020 versus 4,036 by motor vehicle. But they had to move the range up in order to get it there. So again, if you do a custom search on the CDC numbers, you're limiting the categories I mentioned to children, to those 0 to 17, those below voting age, then the data completely flips around and motor vehicle deaths are 2,500 and death by firearm for children, 2,200. So you can see what they did there. So, but again, the media is not going to do this. They're not going to tell you that.
If an 18-year-old is considered a child, then they should raise the voting age to 18 then.
Yeah. And of course, they keep lowering the... But the other thing that bothers me is what they're talking about here. They're not talking about states. They're talking about the federal government is going to do this. And next week, the House of Representatives is planning to pass this bill with this laundry list of items in it. Listen to Biden.
House of Representatives already passed key measures we need. Expanding background checks to cover nearly all gun sales, including at gun shows and online sales. Getting rid of the loophole allows a gun sale to go through after 3 business days, even if the background check has not been completed. And the House is planning even more action next week. Safe storage requirements, the banning of high capacity magazines, raising the age to buy an assault weapon to 21, federal red flag law, codifying my ban on ghost guns that don't have serial numbers and can't be traced, and tougher laws to prevent gun trafficking and straw purchases.
All right, so that's all at the federal level. Okay, it's not state gun laws. Like every state has, like Maryland has a very restrictive gun state law, as does Chicago, as does New York, as does California, and where most of the murders occurring in these gun-free cities, in these gun-free zones.
Absolutely.
Now, as for the ghost guns that he mentioned, do you know there are 2 categories of ghost guns? I want to get that out there. The one is they keep telling us that it's, you know, the kits that you buy. You know, these are kits that Polymer 80, and I think there's another company out of Massachusetts, they make these kits. You have to be pretty smart. You got to know what you're doing. If you ever assembled models, if you're not a builder, if you're not good at assembling things and following, you know, it's not as easy as they make you think it is. And so what could be happening is there are people that are buying these kits and assembling these ghost guns and then selling them, you know, on the open market. But the vast majority of ghost guns are people that have been filing the serial numbers off the guns. That's also in the Ghost Gun kit, Ghost Gun category, rather. So I'd like to see a breakdown of how many of the people that are illegally filing off serial numbers off of guns versus the number of kits that are bought, mostly collectors, by these kits. But now, of course, and some of them are making them out on the street. There's no doubt about that. The other thing that scares the dickens out of me is the safe storage concept that he mentioned just moments ago. Imagine if the federal government comes up with, this is how we define safe storage. And they, right, all these five steps that you have to do. And then, as we've seen, you know, no knock, pre-dawn raid, someone reports that you may not be storing your neighbor and you've had a dispute. Your neighbor knows you have a gun and the neighbor calls police and says, Mr. Smith isn't storing his firearm properly. And then all of a sudden, you know, middle of the night, you know, you see the jackets, ATF, FBI, whatever, and they're hauling you out with your kids and your jammies to see if your gun has been stored safely or not.
Like I said, you know, they let these criminals out and with these arm length criminal records. Yeah. And it just drives me crazy. And I could see that happening too.
Sure. And speaking of criminal records, a couple of stories. I'm glad you jogged my memory there, Michelle. The family of the Uvalde shooter. Oh, have you heard this yet? The record of the family?
No.
The mother's a drug addict. Okay. The father has done time again. He did, trying to get the exact records here. Anyway, he did, the grandmother was passing bad checks. Okay. The one he shot in the face. The grandfather was involved in a drug cartel trafficking ring. The whole family was in on it, except for the older sister that got away and joined the Navy. But they all either had criminal records, run-ins with police, or spent time in jail. Salvador Ramos Sr. Had been charged with resisting arrest before, struggled with a cop, made a run for it. They also had a felony charge of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. So the whole family, borderline criminals, except for his older sister, who is in the United States Navy. So not much of a chance for this kid, huh?
No.
Come from a dirt poor. And that's the other thing I want to ask. I added up all the things he bought. And again, I could be off a little bit by, you know, a couple hundred dollars, but anywhere from $8,000 to $10,000. That the family was dirt poor and the, at least on record, unless you're dealing in drug money. Okay. So that's a possibility. People keep saying, how did he pay for, you know, his weapons? He bought two, semi-automatic long guns. He had a handgun. He bought thousands of rounds, about almost $2,000 worth of ammunition, body armor. And how did he pay for it? I think he had a part-time job at Wendy's or Whataburger or something like that, but he dropped out of school, you can't, something does not adding up here. And apparently the grandmother was on assistance and the mother, who's a drug addict, was also on SNAP, which is food stamps. So where'd he get the money? And the father was estranged. So that to me, the first place you look is, he's either selling drugs or the family's in the business or he ripped somebody off or stole it. And so hopefully they'll be looking into that. Speaking of letting criminals off, John Hinckley, unconditional release. Did you see this?
I could not believe when I saw that. Yeah.
41 years after trying to kill the president of the United States, and they also killed James Brady, not that day, but you know, took his brain.
Yes.
And he died, I think, a premature death years later. Wounded a Secret Service agent, wounded a D.C. police officer. And of course, he blamed it. They said it was his mental illness. Imagine that in the United States of America, you tried to kill, assassinate a president of the United States. I don't care what the reason is. Should you ever see the light of day again and walk the streets? I don't think so, but there he is. He's out with his unconditional release. All right, let's talk about the Biden disaster of an economy and with inflation, grocery prices, gas prices. Of course, baby formula, you name it, everything this guy touches, it's the reverse Midas touch. All right? Everything he touches turns to tin, or worse, rusted metal. Back a year or so ago, this is a meeting that Joe Biden had with the Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, and Janet Yellen, the Secretary of the Treasury. Here's what they said then about inflation.
If we make these investments now, with interest rates at historic lows, we'll generate more growth, higher incomes, a stronger economy.
I really do not expect that we'll be in a situation where inflation rises to troubling levels.
Is there a risk of inflation? I think there's a small risk, and I think it's manageable.
All right, it's manageable, small, it's transitory.
Small risk.
No big deal. These are people that are supposed to be his best and brightest economic advisors. Well, guess what? Inflation is at its worst in 40 years. It is eating up the cost of living adjustment that you got from Social Security. Oh, the good news is there. I just heard today that you've gained another year before Social Security benefits will have to be reduced. They moved that back, I think, to the year 2035. Instead of 2034. And Medicare, you got a couple of years, I think. You now are, instead of, I think it's 2028. That was, Medicare was due to go bust in 2026. So you've got, another 6 years there and roughly another 13. I mean, and they have been stealing from these funds. They've been, every single one of them is spending this inordinate money again. They're dipping. Is that because it's a Ponzi scheme? Let's face it, where the current people paying into the system are responsible for the people that are retired. And then, you know, look, they everybody paid into it, so you are entitled. It's not an entitlement program because you paid into it. But the way it's funded is very sketchy, because if you don't have enough people funding it. Then when you have politicians stealing from it, you combine the two, and then you have problems. But Janet Yellen is now changing her tune regarding inflation.
I think I was wrong then about the path that inflation would take. As I mentioned, there have been unanticipated and large shocks to the economy that have boosted energy and food prices and supply bottlenecks that have affected our economy badly that I didn't, at the time, didn't fully understand.
Let me translate. That is a typical government propaganda and doublespeak. When she says shocks to the economy, she's referring to the Fauci virus and to the Putin invasion. It has nothing to do, in their mind, with Joe Biden's policies and failures as an illegitimate president, which has got everything to do with it. Yeah, Putin contributes a little bit.
We cannot afford a lady being wrong about our financial situation, our economy, this inflation. Some little old ladies need to be at the house baking cookies for their grandchildren.
Well, she's one of the best and the brightest, Janet Yellen. Right. It's just, come on. It's again, she's a smart person, but she has just bought into this horrific ideology let's take down capitalism. Let's make this, what do they call it at the Green Reset? Shareholder or stakeholder capitalism or something, something like that.
Stakeholder, yeah.
That's what they're espousing. It's kind of a fancy way to say socialism. They don't want to say they're socialists. They're stakeholder capitalists. Okay, but that's what it means. And then there's the CEO of J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, and he's been doing this a long, long time. He was flashing some warning signals just the other day.
It's a hurricane. Right now, it's kind of sunny. Things are doing fine. Everyone thinks the Fed can handle this. That hurricane is right out there down the road coming our way. We just don't know if it's a minor one or Superstorm Sandy or Andrew or something like that. And you better brace yourself.
Remember when Biden warned about the dark winter?
Yes.
Yeah, dark winter is coming. There's a storm coming. There's a storm coming, all right. But it's being, it's entirely predictable. And I think he's being nice when he, whether it's a Super Sandy or it's a Hurricane Andrew. It's going to be a severe recession. based on the current economic indicators, and it's only going to get worse. So when you look at all the gas prices aren't coming down anytime soon. I'm sorry to report that. And with the coming food shortages, and there was another, what was that, an egg farm or eggplant factory, or I'm sorry, an egg factory that was caught fire.
Yeah. Another food place.
Has
talking now, about the brownouts.
The rolling brownouts that are being predicted now. The energy prices, the electric rates, the cost of propane. I had a cookout the other day, and for the last 5 years, during every year I'd go, propane exchange, $21.19. I mean, it was like clockwork.
I thought you were going to say you had to take out a loan, you know, for the meat and everything else.
But a layaway, right? Yeah. And look, it's now $23.47. That's $2 a tank. You do the, I mean, that's just propane. Imagine it's going everywhere, up and down, you know, whether you use propane heat or for your generator. Gasoline is up, propane is up, liquid natural gas is up, oil is up. So that's it affects just about everything. Have you heard about the way Nurse Jill and Chairman Joe argue?
No, I haven't heard that.
No, I haven't, Sean. Please tell us.
This came out this week. I think it was in Vanity Fair. I can't, or Harper's Bazaar, one of those.
I heard about that, the fashion shoot. Yeah.
This is, but they came up, they didn't want to argue in front of Secret Service. So when they have an argument, and it's probably over what time Joe has to go to bed or take a nap, they call it fexting. That's a fight texting. So that's what the Bidens are calling it. They call it fexting. Joey B is here this week to talk about him and Nurse Jill and the way they fexed.
My smell of Americans. It's me, Joey B, president of the White House. You ever get a fight with your wife? I got a wife. Some people got a wife, and some people got a husband. And other people, I don't know what they have. I'm playing catch up there. But anyway, sometimes I fight with my wife. And we do it on the computer phone. Jill calls it fexting, fight texting. Like, I'll mention my kid Hunter. And she'll lay into me about what an embarrassing horn dog he is. And I'll tell her, that's not nice. He's my boy. Proud of my boy. And she'll say something about how a human-shaped pile of failure is nothing to be proud of. But we do it all in text message, so we don't get mad at real life, Jill. That's how you have a happy marriage when your wife's stepkid is Hunter Biden. Thank you.
I just, first, does anybody really believe that Joe Biden texts?
No.
Mm-mm.
You know, it came out this week that Hunter Biden's laptop had a link to a porn site that he apparently shared with the 10% guy. You know, Big Daddy. So I don't know
if wholesome.
I don't know if what's Biden family values after all, when you're, you know, ripping off the world, you, I guess, have to have some hedonistic pleasures, I guess.
Sharing is caring.
Yeah. So I don't know if he saw it or not, but apparently that came out. He did share that link. Dr. Fauchenstein is back, and he was on with Never Trumper Neil Cavuto, Fox, the other day. And he was asking, anytime Neil Cavuto gets a chance to try to put one in the back of Donald Trump, he does. And this time he was grilling Fauci as to when he might retire.
Well, you know, I'm not going to get involved in any politics about who is or is not going in the White House. By the way, by the time that happens, I think I won't be around no matter who the president is. What does that mean? That you're done? No, I'm not done yet. But you're talking about a few years from now, and I don't foresee that I will be doing this a few years from now.
So no matter who's president, whether it's Joe Biden getting reelected or someone else, Donald Trump or anyone else, you would not continue.
That's exactly correct. I've been doing this now for 38 years. It will be over 40 years if I wait that long.
Yeah, well, I think, why don't you do it now? Just get it over with and, you know, do us all a favor. Get him out of here. But he did have one revealing statement to Cavuto when asked about the Biden regime appealing at federal appeals court whether to reverse the order lifting the airplane mask mandate. And here's what he said, and I think this is actually spot on. It's not about public health. It's not about the contagion of the virus. It's about power.
In the past, and I will in the future, it's less about mandates on the plane than it is about who has the right and the authority and the capability of making public health decisions. And I believe that the Department of Justice is operating on the principle that decisions that are public health decisions belong with the public health agency. In this case, the CDC.
Yeah, it's about the power. Who has the authority? Who's gonna control the people? All right, so that's the answer. Sean, there he is, Dr. Fauchenstein.
I'm working on a gun vaccine right now. Everybody is going to have to take a shot.
Wait a minute. Did he just say that? What I thought he said? Oh my goodness. That is
funny,
just
man, John. I don't think right half the time.
That's the truth.
All right, so Dr. Fauchenstein, we found out was funding research into potential monkeypox cures before the viral disease global outbreak. So we got that might be happening all over again before all is said and done. And then we have Dr. Ashish Jha, because now Pfizer says they want to vaccinate your children under the age of 5. And this screwball is out there saying that parents are lining up for this nonsense.
What we know at this moment, we know that many, many parents are eager to vaccinate their youngest kids.
Eager? Parents are eager to do this? Sorry, nobody's eager to do this whatsoever.
I'm never eager when my kids were little.
I know.
Get them vaccinated.
And they aren't either, I'm sure. Just a few more things here. The Chinese, the Chi-Coms, they were the ones that unleashed this pandemic on the world. They've just been elected to the WHO executive board. Now, remember, they covered it up from the world. They wouldn't let anybody in. They basically own the WHO, and that's why they're elected to the board. California legislature has just proposed or is poised to pass an assembly bill. It's 2098. That it's called the Medical Misinformation Bill, and it's targeting alternative Fauci virus protocols. So, like, you know, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, or any of the other early treatments.
Yes.
If you are as a doctor or a healthcare provider, and you would suggest those, prescribe those, propose those, you could then be fined or perhaps even jailed in California. So, I mean, very scary stuff. It's still going on. They have not given up on this yet. Yet the New York Slimes made a mistake. They kind of fell apart. They have now this article by David Lenhart saying that data shows that in U.S. cities where mask use has been more common, the Fauci virus has spread at a similar rate as in mask-resistant cities. How do we know this? Because mask mandates in schools also seem to have done little to reduce the spread. And in Hong Kong, despite they have universal masking, everyone's got to wear a mask, indoors, outdoors, everywhere. They recently went through one of the world's worst COVID outbreaks. So we know the masks do not work. And then we also have more evidence of revealing that their Wuhan experiments on the monkeypox were already going on before the latest outbreak of the monkeypox virus. Just incredible headlines here, but all of this gets buried because of Uvalde and all the other distractionary measures that are being utilized against us. It's really, really messed up. All right, it's time for our liberal lunatic of the week. All right, so you guys get a chance to vote on this. So we're going to give you three liberals, and you tell us which one you think is the absolute lunatic of the week. First up is Congressman Eric Swalwell, a Democrat, California. At the Judicial Committee hearings yesterday on the gun legislation, here is what he said about his colleagues across the aisle.
19 kids are dead. 19 children are dead. And so to my Republican colleagues, I ask, who are you here for? Are you here for our kids, or are you here for the killers?
Wow.
No.
Well, you, Swallow, when did you stop beating your wife?
Yeah, exactly. Here for the kids, or are you here for the killers?
Ah,
And that set off Louis Gohmert. And maybe if we have time, Monday we'll play some excerpts from him. But he just went off on Swalwell and the Democrats, and rightfully so. Our second nominee is New York City Mayor Eric Adams, blaming the gun violence in New York City on social media.
It must be national solutions that include social media and how it is not using its communication ability to detect those who are being radicalized and eventually carrying out radical actions.
All right, so social media is the fault for the gun violence in New York City. And finally, Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm doesn't seem to be worried about high gas prices at all. In fact, she gleefully says they're going to stay high, and you're just going to like it or lump it.
This price hike that we are seeing globally will likely remain high. And so we want to make sure that at the same time as we are calling upon an increase in supply, that we are also accelerating our future to clean energy solutions.
All right, so there you have it. Those are your choices. Okay. Swalwell, who you hear for kids or killers, Mayor Adams, social media is responsible for gun violence, and Jennifer Granholm, prices will remain high, and you're just going to love driving those electric vehicles. All right, to Michelle, you get to vote.
Eric Swalwell.
Eric Swalwell. Okay, yeah. Joe.
Yeah, it is pretty easy. Eric Swalwell.
Yeah, and that's unanimous. Eric Swalwell, you are an absolute liberal lunatic of the week.
Yep.
I'm going to give our Patriot of the Week award to Florida Sheriff Grady Judd. Grady had a message, of course, for the potential active shooters in Polk County, Florida.
But if you come to a school in this county armed, we're going to do our best through either our guardians, our school resource officers, or our school resource deputy sheriffs to eliminate the threat outside of the school before they ever get to the children. We're trained to do that. Now, if you have trouble understanding that, let me give it to you in Polk County vernacular. This is the last thing you'll see before we put a bullet through your head if you're trying to hurt our children. We are going to shoot you graveyard dead if you come onto a campus with a gun threatening our children or shooting at us.
There it is. Graveyard dead.
Yeah, to the point. I love it.
That's how you harden your schools.
That's right.
That kind of talk. That's what we need.
And you follow up on it with action. You know, we got two problems in America today: people not obeying the law and people not enforcing the law. And it's basically anarchy. And you could see it playing out on our streets, in our schools, in our churches. It's anarchy when in a society that's supposed to be of law and order, when you have people that won't obey it and people that won't enforce it, this is the end result. Time for the cringe moment of the day. California is going through another one of their drought periods. And if you've ever lived in California and lived through a drought period, it's no fun. Water restrictions, it's not just you can't water your lawn or wash your car. It's you've got to be, you're only allowed to really bathe or shower on certain days. And it is drinking water. Obviously, we need drinking water. Otherwise, you'll die in 3 days without drinking water. So water restrictions are nothing to laugh about, and droughts, but somehow Cacklin Kamala found it funny.
I remember watching in the Oakland Hills, Northern California, the landscape turning from green to brown. And everyone, from my mother, our teachers, the radio DJs, KDIA, Lucky 13, saying how important it was to conserve water.
Where's the beat?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What was so funny about droughts?
Yeah.
Now, maybe she summoned a fond childhood memory, sounded from like the radio station that she mentioned here. But still, you're talking about a very serious subject. And she just has the most inappropriate affect I think I've ever seen in any human being. She laughs when she's not supposed to. And just, what a disaster this administration has been. Time for the unhinged moment du jour.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
All right, she is Joyless Reid, I thought her show was canceled. Somehow she hangs on. Maybe they just got clones of her and they just keep rolling out the latest version. But Joyless Reid went off the deep end last night.
Right-wing Christian conservative red meat and hyper-militaristic branding. It's an extreme way of capitalizing on a wholly manufactured sense of apocalyptic fear, deliberately created by people who have a financial and political motive to keep a certain segment of the population, namely white working class Christians, in a constant state of panic. Elites want to take your guns while immigrants are being brought in to replace you. Teachers are indoctrinating your children and turning them gay and against your ancestry. It's just constant baiting, building up this sense of apocalypse and giving the AR-15 mythical status as the weapon of choice to fight back. Onward, Christian soldiers.
Shut the hell up.
I don't think she likes Christians too much.
Hey, Joy Reid, why don't you tell your people to stop saying New World Order all the time?
Yeah. Joy Reid, of course, is, again, I don't, she doesn't get any ratings. How do you pay somebody like that that doesn't produce any kind of meaningful performance or significant statistics? It's mind. I guess it's like a loss leader. They know the supermarkets when they, you know, discount something 2-for-1, like, you know, cases of Coke, you know you're going to take a loss on it, but you're going to get the foot traffic in the store.
Yeah,
but
it's all those corporations that are paying into it.
Time for our outrages of the week. Joseph Murray Armacost, you get to go first.
Well, it looks like this administration is threatening to take away the free breakfast program at in public schools from schools that don't teach the LGBTQ agenda.
Hey. I resent that. I'm an LGBTQ guy. This is an LGBTQ month. Okay?
No kidding.
Yeah, let's get Joe Biden to quit.
Yeah.
Take some pride.
Yeah, take some pride in that, Joe. Come on. No, he's absolutely...
Yeah, well, that's...
You're absolutely that's right. Way. But that's what happens when you take federal dollars. When you take federal dollars, you take all their nasty little things that come with it, and otherwise they pull the money from you. Again, don't take federal dollars. Say thanks, but no thanks. We don't need your stinking money. Then you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It is terrible. You're absolutely right about that. All right, Michelle.
Okay, so yesterday, Mondaer Jones had...
Mondaer, wow. Mondaer. I'm telling you, what a... What a guy. All right, Mondaer.
I know.
He's I didn't mean to interrupt, but it's a...
No, it's okay.
We in our... Folks, I'll let you in a little inside stuff. Prior to our show today recording, we had a little bit of a debate on how to pronounce Mondaer's name. So...
there you go.
Some said Mondaer. Some said Mondaer. Some said Moday. We weren't quite sure how to pronounce it, but it is... And then Joe went off on the Moday component, and that's why every time we hear it now, we just we laugh. But okay,
one Moday, yes.
Yes, Mondaer Jones. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Michelle.
One Moday to payday. Okay. Yes. So anyway, he had this to say at the hearing yesterday for gun control.
Enough is enough. Enough of you telling us that school shootings are a fact of life, when every other country like ours has virtually ended it. Enough of you blaming mental illness and then defunding mental health care in this country. Enough of your thoughts and prayers. Enough. Enough. You will not stop us from advancing the Protecting Our Kids Act today. You will not stop us from passing it in the House next week, and you will not stop us there. If the filibuster obstructs us, we will abolish it. If the Supreme Court objects, we will expand it, and we will not rest until we have taken weapons of war out of circulation in our communities.
I mean, how about that? They'll, you know, take away the filibuster, they'll expand Supreme Court, they'll do anything to get what they want.
Yeah, old Mondaer, he was going for scorched earth there for a second. They're gonna,
yes, he was.
They're gonna change the court. They're gonna take away all. And by the way, he was asked by a reporter after that comment, what did he mean by take away the weapons of war? And asked if that means you know, semi-automatic rifles and handguns, and he basically said all semi-automatics. But then he said, well, maybe not the hand, but he didn't know what he was saying. He doesn't know the difference.
Know.
He really doesn't know the difference.
No, so. They just want to take them all away.
Yeah, that's it. You know, they don't want to be bothered with automatic, semi-automatic, revolver, whatever. They want all weapons of war, is what he said, to be taken away. All right, my outrage is, have you heard that the chief of staff to Biden is leaving? Ron Klain.
Yes, I had heard that, yeah.
Is leaving after the midterm elections. And Ron Klain, it is believed, may have botched the baby formula thing. And maybe he was the one that should have told Biden sooner and didn't. So he is being shown the door after the midterms, we hear. Or maybe that's because the transformation isn't happening fast enough. Because our old friend Anita Dunn, do you remember that name, Anita Dunn?
Yes, I do, Sean.
She was in the Obama regime. And she is the one that... she also, I think, was instrumental with Harvey Weinstein at one point. I don't remember if she was a legal representative or whatever, but she's a real piece of work. She's a Marxist. She is the one that put the pornographic ornaments on the Christmas tree inside the White House.
That's what I remembered.
Remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah. And she is now going to be the new chief of staff for Joe Biden after the midterms. And recently, it was maybe during the last several years of the Obama administration, she was asked to speak, I think, to a commencement exercise at Georgetown. I may be getting the college wrong, but this was at a commencement speech in which she gave kudos to her two favorite people in the whole wide world.
And the third lesson and tip actually come from two of my favorite political philosophers, Mao Zedong and Mother Teresa, not often coupled with each other, but the two people that I turn to most.
Did you hear that like nervous laughter from the audience?
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like half laugh, half groan. Mm-hmm. Mother Teresa, everybody loved and respected and admired Mother Teresa. Mao Zedong is a mass murderer. Unbelievable. But so what was so inspiring about Mao?
In 1947, when Mao Zedong was being challenged within his own party on his plan to basically take China over, Chiang Kai-shek and the nationalist Chinese held the cities, they had the army, they had the air force, they had everything on their side. And people said, how can you win? How can you do this? How can you do this against all of the odds against you? And Mao Zedong said, you know, you fight your war and I'll fight mine.
Oh, that's just, you know, scintillating. That's scintillating stuff there that you would be so inspired that you would go on quoting him to American people. This is extremely offensive to anybody who's freedom-loving, that escaped the Chinese regime. Imagine all the Chinese Americans that escaped Mao, and she goes out and says something like that. You fight your war, I'll fight mine. Yeah, your war cost millions of people their lives and sent millions more fleeing into the four corners of the earth. It is amazing, but this is who they are and they're telling us who they are. We just have to remember to believe them when they do. That's going to do it for another fine week of shows. And don't forget the Casey commentary Weed Killer at the drops tomorrow about the connection between, cannabis, THC and, psychotic episodes. And as always, you can email us at thesean.casey@gmail.com. That's thesean.casey@gmail.com.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
All right, thanks again to our excellent executive producer, Joe Hosni Armacost.
Yes, sir.
You have a great weekend, sir. And to you, Michelle Drasella.
You're welcome.
Great job by Michelle and research and grabbing some of that audio for us today. And to our associate producers, Hunter and Logan Casey. Hunter's still celebrating his 30th birthday. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. Stay free.